To the cloud. Okay, we're recording.
Okay.
Right, welcome to the council meeting of September 2020, p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975. Has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2020, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the borough at the Borough Hall. And the notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press.
Mr. Dermody? Absent. Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
And Mr. Broman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. I just received a text from Eric said that he's trying to come on, but he's having trouble. So he should be logged on in a moment. Wait, here comes another text from maybe not.
Also dial in. They can't get on the computer.
All right, I'll just.
Here he is.
Oh, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well. Billy is in the house. Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hi. Sorry about that. I couldn't get it to auto log.
That's okay.
How's it going, Greg?
Hey, guys.
We're just up the mayor's report. We did start.
We did roll call. All right, I'd just like to make a statement that it is with a heavy heart and much sadness that I want to note the death of some longtime iconic residents of Roosevelt. Ginny Edwards died a few weeks ago at, I believe, 95 years old. And all of us who knew her were continually impressed by her uniqueness. Ginny was the first walker in Roosevelt. Everyone who lives here knows what that means. She was intelligent and sharp and had a wonderful sense of humor and was fiercely independent. It was a privilege to know her. Then 2 weeks ago, Johnny Sean passed away. He was a renowned sculptor and artist, as well as being known for being Ben Sean's son. Johnny was the most wonderful, droll sense of humor and outlook in life, on life. And we in Roosevelt passed by the head that Johnny sculpted of FDR, the amphitheater, on a daily basis. And this head that Johnny sculpted is where every meaningful event in town is held. Many dignitaries have sat in front of that sculpture, including Eleanor Roosevelt, Richard Hughes, Bill Bradley, just to name a few. Our thoughts go out to Allison Petrilla, who lost her mother, Ginny, who I just mentioned, and then her husband, Bob, 2 weeks later. So I don't mean to ignore or offend anyone whose name I haven't mentioned, because I generally just note the passing of anyone who's lived in Roosevelt a very long time. Unfortunately, in the last few months, there have been several deaths in Roosevelt. It's ironic because I think most people who move here love it here, and so they stay for most of their lives. And then everyone gets, as they age, you have cycles with several people pass in the same period of time. So I think I made a list the other day, and I think at least 9 people have died since March. So I don't mean to leave out anyone's name, but I just have been mentioning the people who.
Nine people died since when? Did you say since March?
Since March.
9?
Yeah.
Who else?
Well, I'll tell you after the meeting, though.
Okay.
Well, and I also want to announce the resignation of Steve Bowen as council member and thank him for his service. Steve worked very hard in the last 2 years on the council and was very involved with council affairs. Okay. So we come to the public comment on agenda items only. I open that at 7:07 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on agenda items only? And I will close the public comment on the agenda.
Wait, I'm sorry. Peggy, it's Larissa. I'm not sure what, I'm sorry, I don't actually know it specifically. When you say agenda items, the reason I'm here is I want to talk about the, what are they called now? The ordinance that it's being passed about the bamboo. Is that something for this time or no?
Well, it is on, so what, right now we have that listed as old business. So what you should do is wait until the public portion on anything.
Okay.
Not exactly an agenda item, it's on as old business. So we can
okay, thank you.
A public comment later on. Because I have some comments as well, I'm sure we all do. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know where to look. I look at the computer, I look at the camera.
So we're gonna close it at 7:08.
Yes, close it at 7:08. Correspondence, we have a letter of resignation from Councilman Steve Cohen. Okay. Approval of minutes. Regular meeting minutes from August 24th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
You do.
Second.
Who?
Lou was first.
Okay. And you were second, Joe?
No,
or Chad.
Chad?
Okay.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, roll call. Mr. Essipaw?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay. There is no ordinances on for first or second reading.
Okay, we come to resolutions. Resolution 20-87, payment of bills for September 14th, 2020. Have a motion?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Second. Oh, Lou's got it.
Roll call.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, bills passed. Reports of committee chairs. For the time being, Councilman Hamilton has offered to oversee public works as well as finance. So, Mike, you're on. Is there anything you'd like to report from either finance or public works?
Well, actually, I don't have a report for either of them. I was hoping for a short meeting.
That's fine. We'll be here in 2 weeks.
But I did want to say that I thought that Steve did a very good job with public works and in particular reporting on public works and what's going on within public works and the needs of our public works department. So I'll be glad to take over for that.
Thank you. We appreciate that greatly. Council Member Esikoff, administration.
We're administering. I don't know what, but we're administering. The one thing I'm concerned about, it's not so much administration, but it's to do with the Borough Hall. It's the generator. And I understand that we've waited for another bid. Another quote. And Anna tells me we may have to go to bid because it's over the financial limit without them. So we're waiting and hopefully they'll get it done soon because winter's coming, folks.
And we've got
to get it done.
Storms on the way.
Yeah, you know, with what's going on with the weather in these days, no, you can't take chances anymore.
I agree. Okay. Thank you.
That's my...
Council Member Trammell, utilities?
I got nothing this time around on utilities, but I agree with Mike. Steve did a great job.
Yes, I too agree.
Yep.
I'm sorry to see him go.
Me too.
He was a good active member for a time.
Fortunate. And Council Member Vroman, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing to report at this time. Yeah, we're obviously going to be discussing the bamboo and that sort of thing here coming up. So,
come to old business. So the first thing we have is the planning board recommendations for ordinance 20-07, the pod ordinance. Did everyone read that? It was basically some changes that were made that were just passed on for the council to peruse.
I move we accept it.
Is that what we need to do?
I don't think, the borough attorney can say there's, where is that? It's just their recommendations, and if you choose to discuss it or not, at least we have it, correct?
And this is the EC's recommendations of the bamboo ordinance, correct?
No, planning board.
Oh, forgive me. Oh, on the pod, yeah. So did they, I don't know if I reviewed that. Did they have any suggestions? I thought they said it was okay.
A long time ago, they just had a few suggestions. You did get that a while ago, but.
Oh, but then we introduced the ordinance after that, I believe.
Oh, it was well after, correct.
Yeah, no, I incorporated them into the ordinance. So you can just put those in the file with the ordinance file because I actually put their recommendations into it. I ended up not having to go back to them after introduction because I believe we did it like a property maintenance ordinance versus, oh no, I'm sorry, this was zoning. Oh no, it's already in there because we did a pure adopt.
Yeah, the pod ordinance.
I'm sorry, I'm all over the place on this.
Weren't there some changes?
Recommendations are in the ordinance. You can file it with the ordinance, forgive me.
Weren't there some changes about not putting a pod, about weeds growing around the pod and maintaining that and
I can't.
I mean, how about because I do not think they were incorporated in the ordinance because we had already adopted it, and I didn't get the consistency. Say that word. I did not get this report until just maybe a month ago.
Right. So these are changes that are proposed to the existing ordinance.
Is there some limitation, time limitation on them?
What?
We added that on, didn't we?
I'm sorry, Lou, could you say that again?
I said we added a time limitation on the ordinance.
Would you like me to read what was highlighted for the changes?
I'm sorry, can we step back for a second? So I just want to make sure I know what we're talking about. So Michelle Donato, I believe, originally provided a draft of this ordinance, or at least an outline to me, as I recall. Then I drafted the ordinance, we introduced it, and adopted it, and then they came back with additional recommendations, which is that what we're talking about now?
Yeah,
read it on.
Mr. Hartley, that's Tim Hartley from the planning board. He commented on the content of the ordinance as presented to the council on page 2 under placement, line 4. And what it said was, except on a driveway or on the public right-of-way, requesting it to read, except in the driveway or in the driveway portion of the public right-of-way. Mr. Hartley explained that the language could be interpreted to mean that it could be placed anywhere on a driveway or anywhere on the public right-of-way, which would mean anywhere on the front of your property. There was discussion about this between board members and the attorney. Ms. Donato stated that this change could be affected by a simple letter to the council relaying this requested change. Mayor Malkin asked Ms. Donato if she would want to send the letter, which she said she would be glad to do within the 35 days allowed. An additional question was raised about which zones this ordinance would apply to, as Roosevelt has 4 zones. The one being left out, C40, a commercial zone, would not be included. Then Mayor Malkin had a question about whether this ordinance addressed dumpsters in any way, which it does not. So nothing about the grass mic or anything. It was strictly about the driveway.
Okay.
Well, that's where I was getting confused too, because I incorporated revisions into it that included what Councilman Hamilton just said.
Okay. But
I did not include the weeds one. That's why it sticks out to me, because I know that was excluded, because it's already dealt with by the maintenance code. If you have tall weeds, you have tall weeds. It doesn't matter if they're next to a pod. So I remember, so maybe this is the third set of recommendations. That's why I'm sorry. I'm very lost here as to which is which.
Ms. Kane, you only have this about a month, a few weeks. And when was the pod ordinance passed? Quite some time ago.
I mean, ultimately, I did see Mr. And I don't think I'm not sure I saw Mr. Hartley's yet. I guess that's why it's coming up newly now. But he
I never saw Hartley's either.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lou.
I said I never saw Hartley's notes either.
Yeah, I don't think I was familiar with these exactly, but I do know someone brought up the issue of the vagueness as to where it could be placed in the front yard originally, and then we left it alone because ultimately Jeremy has to sign the permit as to whether it's, you know, he's not going to let you put it on the sidewalk if it doesn't fit anywhere else or something like that. So we kind of, we left it to the officer's discretion in that regard the last time around on that. But I mean, I'm more than happy. I have a really good template for this ordinance at this point. So if you can even make more changes, we can certainly do that. You guys want to, I'll take a look at that from the packet, Mr. Hartley's suggestions as well.
Thank you, Greg. Any other discussion about the pod ordinance?
Table it for the next meeting.
Okay. All right, then we have the New Jersey Department of Transportation Alternative Set-Aside Program. This is where we were asked if we were interested in applying for this grant, and we had a choice of either asking for the money to be put toward a bikeway or updates and beautification of our amphitheater. So there was some question about whether the engineer's fee was, if there was value in spending $5,000 for the fee to apply for this grant, as to whether there was a possibility that the grant would actually be given out given the current economic state of affairs here. But I did speak to Carmela and she said that anything going on in the economy in the state or the virus or anything else, this grant is available and will be granted to, you know, I'm not sure how many towns or what town. But the other question I had was, that actually discussed with Kathleen, was whether, how much is the grant for? Because if it's for $5,000 and the fee, the engineer's fee is for $5,000, the grant is $6,000 and $7,000, you know, it might just behoove us to pay for it ourselves. So I did put the question to our engineer quite a few days ago, and it's not like her. I haven't heard back. So it's possible that she's on vacation or unavailable at this point, because I think I asked her on Thursday. So we have a little bit of time left before we have to decide. So I know Carmela, she will absolutely get back to me as soon as she can. But for right now, I don't have an answer as to the monetary value of the grant and whether we should consider it, you know.
We have more time to talk about this and consider it before we authorize Carmela to apply.
Right. I think because it's due in November.
Right.
I think if we, the last meeting in September, I know I'll hear from her by then.
Okay.
We, you know, be better equipped to make a decision.
What in the past, does anybody know what the history of that grant was?
A set aside? I don't, maybe.
Set aside? How much money was available?
No.
And how much some people got and didn't get? Okay. No history, okay.
No. And okay, and now we come to old business. We've been in old business. The third item is bamboo ordinance, which was tabled in March. So I would like to say before we open it to the public, or before the council discusses it, let me open, that I read the ordinance. Personally, I feel that the fines are excessive. It's a pretty hefty fine. And also, I don't think that, I don't have it in front of me, but
what don't you have
the bamboo ordinance? But also, I don't think it gives residents very much time. I think from the time it's passed, they only have 3 months, or for when they're cited for bamboo maintenance, it gives them 3 months to adhere to the code, adhere to better maintenance. Which I think, I don't know, I just think 3 months goes by so quickly. That's 12 weeks. And does everyone have it in front of them? Because I did think the fines were pretty hefty. We don't have it here.
I don't see the fines on the copy I have.
No, I think my end is on my dining. My copy's on my dining room table, I think.
Yeah, I end at page 28.
Yeah.
It says fines.
Yeah, I think it's on my dining room table. Does anyone have it?
No, I don't.
No, I don't have it in front of me. But.
What's your recollection of the what the fines were? Do you remember, Mayor?
It was, well, first of all, they're daily.
Like you guys want me to, I'm sorry, Mayor, to interrupt you. Do you want me to email to everyone right now?
Yeah.
I can't. Sure. Had it. I don't know where it went. I literally just had it.
It accrues either daily or weekly, you know, pretty quickly. And the initial, something like $50, but whatever. I knew that was way too much. But even when we considered her, I think maybe Greg made suggestions for a lesser amount, but I felt it was still fairly sizable. And also, as I said, especially now with what's going on, I don't know how much people are affected financially by the virus, and also the fact that people have kids home and it may not be as easy to take care of your property, things like that. I know it's bamboo's a pain in the neck. Everyone knows that. It's difficult to cut down. Right. Oh, there you have it. And, you know, if you have to hire someone professionally, I'm just afraid. I just thought that 3 months might not be quite enough time, especially given that right now winter's coming. So.
Well, that's one of the problems, though, with bamboo is in 3 months, the bamboo could be 6 feet high.
Yeah.
And that's that much more expensive to take care of.
That's right. The longer you wait, the more difficult it gets.
Okay, well, I'll read you the violations and penalties. Whenever running bamboo, as defined by this section, is found planted in the ground on any plot of land or any other premises or place, a notice of violation shall be given to the running bamboo property owner in writing and giving the owner 30 days to remove or abate the same. The cost of the abatement shall be borne by the property owner. If the property owner fails to comply with such notice, the code enforcement officer may remove or otherwise control the invasive plant species, and the borough may recover the cost. Okay, that's understandable. But then Section B says, any person violating this ordinance who fails to abate the violation after notice will be subject to a fine not to exceed $500 plus court costs for each day on which a violation has occurred and for which the property owner has been found guilty. Each day on which the violation occurs shall constitute a separate offense under this ordinance. So that seems fairly
onerous. That's very onerous. I say it's very onerous.
Yeah, and
I think on a daily basis,
that's what I thought. That's why I thought we should I haven't heard anyone else's opinion, but I thought that was just, you know, far too excessive. So I'm going to open it up to the council and get everyone's opinion on this or on the entire ordinance.
For the public's benefit, participating, listening to the discussion, could I just describe the regulatory framework real quick so everyone kind of knows what we're talking about?
Yeah.
This is an ordinance that addresses bamboo, running bamboo specifically in the borough, which is the kind that spreads underground and pops up all over the place. It does not ban bamboo or prohibit it. It only requires the property owner to regulate it and to keep it 5 feet away from the property line, from their property lines. There is an error in the original draft ordinance that I want to point out, particularly the part where it describes what the homeowner has to do as a barrier. It says that the barrier itself should be composed of basically plastic of a minimum thickness of 40 millimeters. It actually should be 40 mil. And the new standard is actually 60 mil, which is 40 millimeters is almost an inch and a half. It's a pretty big construction. But I've actually researched this for another town that did a bamboo ordinance very similar to this. And so the standard is 60 mil or hundredths or thousandths of an inch. And you can buy it right at Home Depot and you bury to a certain depth according to the instructions of the package. So it's commercially, so we'll be changing that. So it's a commercially available product. And then that's the requirement that they, you know, people contain it within 5 feet of their property line. They can do whatever they want on their own property. And then obviously there's the enforcement mechanisms with notice and to take care of it if it's out of control. That's the overall framework.
I just thought the fee, the violation fees were, and time limit was excessive.
Yeah, I spent the first 40 minutes of the discussion that the crowd had the impression that it was we were prohibiting bamboo forever in the town. And people were talking about the benefits of bamboo and all sorts of stuff for like 40 minutes before we got on the same page. So I just wanted to start this discussion.
No pun intended.
For Mr. Hamilton's pleasure.
What's that?
Do you think that 30 days is too short?
Personally, I do. You know how fast a month goes by? People have such a weird, it's, you know, such odd times now. People's kids are home, and I don't know. That's my opinion.
I think 30 days is a little too short. I think you.
But that would. That 30 days, though, is from notification, though, correct?
Notification that you're in violation of the ordinance.
Correct. And at that point in time, it's probably already been a month or two beforehand. And again, we're talking after we're notified. If you get another 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, I mean, you're going to have 12, 15 foot high bamboo.
Does bamboo grow in the winter? I'm just curious.
It depends upon the type, but it grows slower. But
yeah, it is like an evergreen. Yeah. What I've noticed, because I've got bamboo on part of my property, not really, but it's on the town's property, was encroaching upon my lawn this year, and I would go out and snap it off or break it off with my feet. And it, after a month or so, it stopped coming back. So found a different direction to go in.
Does anyone else have any thoughts on the matter?
I like it the way it is. I think 30 days, because it is a really fast-growing thing, it could take over and really spread in 30 days as well as growing high. So I would suggest we might want to just leave that be the way it is. And the $500, and then it's $500 for each day after that? Is that what how it reads?
That's how I read it.
Well,
up to $500, but.
No, that's you.
Not to exceed $500.
But it is daily.
It's a fee, you say?
The daily part, if it's $500 a day after, and that continues to accrue, that does seem like a lot of money. And what if a homeowner has trouble financially dealing with it? They'd have to call in somebody and they, you know, they need more time. Is there any?
Well, that was my point, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
$500. Yeah, I'm in favor of passing the ordinance and having, you know, violation fees. It just seems excessive to me.
I think $500 is too much, much too much.
Or
that's punishing people.
The initial 500, you know, $500 a day after. I mean, sometimes some people may have extraordinary circumstances where they need more than 30 days to address it, either due to financial or other kinds of hardship.
Well, even if it's not 500, even if you lowered it to 100, $100 a day is a lot of money.
You better believe it.
$700 in a week.
A week.
With that clause, I should mention, what that clause effectively does is it doesn't require Jeremy to go out and write a ticket every day. I mean, that's what the legalese is, essentially. Also, by the time I'll point out, and I'm not advocating for any particular penalty. I mean, that's up to you guys what you want to set that at. I'm just giving you the rationale behind that is otherwise Jeremy has to go write one every day, or once they get away with the first one, they'll just pay $500 to keep their bamboo every 6 months after they drag it through municipal.
I mean, I don't have bamboo on my property at all, so I just, you know, as
It's one of those things. It's not like a a loitering or a single offense issue. It's because it's a continuing issue. You want them to abate, so the fines aren't necessarily each and every day is important. Like if it's 100, that doesn't really matter as long as that it accrues. If you listen, the more you fail to listen, the more it should accrue. So whatever that number is fine. That's up to you guys as the governing body. But I just wanted to point that out. Otherwise, it would require Jeremy to write a separate ticket for each day of violation.
All right.
I just didn't think we had any other fines in town that were nearly that.
That one's pretty high, and it wasn't. I can't say that I made it correlate with everything else in town. So that's why I say I don't want to give any comment on that. It's up to you guys how you want to do it. But the continuing violation is important if you wanted to beat it. It was my point. And remember, by the time the people face that penalty, they will have already gotten a summons and been in municipal court multiple times and have not fixed it at all, basically. But the time they get to that point.
Okay.
So let me ask this. If you have bamboo on your property and you keep it trimmed back within 5 feet of the property line, is that okay?
Yeah, there's no problem then.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like if I go out and snap it off like I do, then it's basically okay. So that's not monetarily too bad to just mow it down or snap it off. So
no, we're not looking to turn Jeremy into the bamboo police either. But when it's coming, you know, underground, maybe above ground pool next door, or there's a real issue, you don't really have anything but the common law at this moment in the town protecting anything. And so that's the idea.
And that's the thing with bamboo. If you just keep maintaining it, you mow your grass regularly, you mow along the line of bamboo, it's going to, you know, keep taking down the new shoots. It's when you don't do that and you don't maintain your property, that's when it becomes extremely invasive and very quickly. Because once it's about 2 to 3 inches above the ground, those shoots harden.
Yep. Yeah, I snap them off before they're a foot tall and it seems to be fine. They decide not to grow there anymore. So.
Joe, for you, we'll do a $300.
So if we want to put this...
Thank you, sir.
$300.
So if we want to put this on the agenda for our next meeting, we should come to an agreement about violation fees.
Yeah.
For this particular ordinance, we...
Well, the 500, I think, is you know, a good deterrent. I mean...
It sure is.
I believe that in there, maybe $100 for each day after or something like that. Mm-hmm. Sounds reasonable to me. And also, it's still a deterrent, you know.
Oh, good. That's good.
Everyone okay with that? $500 and then $100 a day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen, we're not here to make money on this thing. We're here to,
we don't have any other...
To encourage people to do their job, what they're supposed to do.
Can we discuss some other things about the ordinance too?
Sure.
At this time, if a homeowner notices bamboo encroachment coming onto their property, they're supposed to contact the borough, or can they contact? I don't see any stipulation, and it might make sense to put something in the ordinance that says that they can advise the property owner, if it's an adjoining property, of their objection to the encroachment in writing. And then, because otherwise, if they don't do anything about it and it encroaches on their property, they're going to be responsible for their end of it too. You know what I'm saying?
The person from whose property it grew is responsible.
Just like, yeah, all of a sudden it's growing on your property. You didn't object to it. It hasn't been reported. Now you're responsible for that because you allowed it to grow to encroach on your property.
It's on your land and property. Yeah. I mean, we don't encourage people to go neighbor to neighbor because we're the government. It's a special place.
I would suggest something that says that you... That a neighbor write a letter or something to,
and they have that common law right. That's the issue. Is like they already have that right. They can write a letter next door and say I'm not putting a writing to their neighbor. So when Jeremy shows up, say it's the neighbor's bamboo, it's encroaching on my yard, and I I mean, we're really looking for them to report it to Borough Hall so that when we have a record of it, and then it's not their problem. But yeah, I mean, just like anything else, if there's garbage cans at the lot line between you and your neighbor's yard, they're not labeled, and Jeremy comes along, you know, if you have a written letter to your neighbor that told them to move the garbage cans earlier, you're protecting yourself. It's kind of like, that's kind of like caveat emptor. You can't really write that in the law, because it can't be like that. What they did with someone else can't be a prerequisite to us having a violation.
I see.
What happens? People are reluctant to do that. You know, write letters and antagonize their neighbor. But
it's been my experience that when neighbors write letters to each other, it doesn't end well.
That's right. That's what I think. I think so too.
They call our town hall, and Jeremy goes and visits, and no one knows who reported, and it's there, and Jeremy's not going out writing a $500 ticket. He's going to say, "Hey, can you take care of that bamboo?" Then he's going to come back and probably say, "Hey, you haven't taken care of the bamboo." Then he's going to come back and write the notice of violation, and then the person's going to have 30 days, and it's going to go from there.
That makes more sense. Just complain. Let Jeremy know.
He calls very few of your residents to municipal court. He needs a lot of stuff taken care of just by knocking on the door most of the time.
I think we should encourage him to call, to write to residents, the neighbor, to call the borough hall and have Jeremy go in and take a look at it and say, "Hey, look, you know, this is his property." The other guy, and tell him who's responsible for what. That people understand it.
We should also probably put an article about it in the bulletin and perhaps send out a flyer informing people once we pass the ordinance that they're responsible for maintaining their bamboo.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think there ought to be a frequently asked questions, kind of a very simple format and bullet points, as to what to do
and what's expected of you, what your responsibilities are.
Yeah, and there are other issues that we could also include information about the tree ordinance and that kind of thing too. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So I had two questions for you. I described the regulatory framework. However, this bans the new planting of bamboo as well. I should point that out. So people are grandfathered who already have it, but it bans new plantings. Is that something that you want to do, or you want to let people plant whatever they want, but they have to control it on their property? Because at this moment, it reads that it's the new plantings are banned.
New planting of what?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of necessarily banning all new plantings, as long as it's done, with the 50 mil housing around it, it's protected. People might want to use it as a landscape element.
The amount of wildlife that live in the bamboo is it just houses so much wildlife, nature in there. I wouldn't want to ban it.
Just quickly, this is something we should be aware of as a borough also. What if the bamboo is on borough property and it encroaches upon your property? Is it incumbent upon the borough to come out and take all the bamboo out of the woods or briars or wherever they are? This could cost us a lot of money after a while, as bamboo does live on borough property here.
Well, I mean, I think we should follow our own ordinance. So we could definitely we would have to start maintaining it and trimming it back, just then barriering it, just like our ordinance here. And then two, technically a legal standpoint, the borough is a sovereign, it's not subject to its own laws. So, but if someone provided notice like, "Hey, the bamboo's damaging my property," and then it did damage the property, they would have a tort claim, just like the person who tells us the tree's dead and then it falls in their house.
I noticed some overgrowth this past weekend taking a walk, and it's borough property. And so I asked Anna to send Greg out and trim it back. It had a few weeks ago, and it's not bamboo, just regular old sort of scrub brush. But I mean, we maintain our own property, so that bamboo would be included in it.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. There is bamboo on borough property, and it grows. So
we'll cut it. Anything else about bamboo?
I just want to make sure that I have the list of revisions correctly. So we're removing the prohibition on new plantings. We're doing $500 initial fine plus $100 per day, so it's not quite as onerous. And then are we giving more time, 45 days to cure, 60 days to cure?
I think 45
is reasonable.
Yeah. That's a month and a half. That's reasonable.
Yeah, it's just two more weeks. Original 30 days.
Everyone could live with 40. Is everyone okay with that? Everyone can live with 45 as a compromise?
Yeah,
I guess that's fine.
And the last thing I wanted to suggest is that, obviously, I know I've heard you guys all talk about the existing bamboo plantings. Obviously, we've been doing this. And so I was going to suggest maybe a sunrise provision. So at the first, I know you guys are talking about advertising it, but let's say this didn't take effect till March 1st of next year for the next spring. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have 3 or 4 months or 5 months or 6 months so people could adjust to the initial change. And then after that, it's 45 days if we're not getting results on certain.
I think that's an excellent idea. Yeah.
April or May is when it really starts to blow out.
I'm sorry, Joe. I was talking. That was my fault.
Okay. April or May is when it really starts to grow out. So that would be good. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll sunrise March 1st, 2021.
Okay.
Yeah. Like 3-4 months to know what's going to happen. And,
we try to be as accommodating as we can here to the residents, so that seems fair.
Yeah, I think that gives people more time, because this is obviously an ordinance like this. It changes most right at first, and then after people get used to what they need to do or what they're doing, what everyone else is doing, frankly, just does it. So I thought that might be giving a little more lead time for the initial change.
Yeah, and it also gives us a chance, when we pass the ordinance, then put it into the bulletin and
a flyer.
Let everybody know what's going on, because you don't want to put the hammer down on before they know what's going on. That's not nice.
And people get upset when you.
We're not that kind of a borough.
Okay.
Huh. Mayor, since we have a couple members of the public who may want to have something to add or some comments on it, can we do that at this time?
Sure, it makes more sense. I was thinking that. So, okay, we will. Do I need to get a consensus about going out of order and opening the public comment now?
Aye.
Is everyone in favor of?
I'll second that motion. Yeah.
All in favor?
So with Joe Brown, Mike Hamilton, all in favor to move public comment.
Aye.
The public at 7:45 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak about anything at all? It can be bamboo or anything.
State your address, please.
This is Larissa Bondi, 19 Pine Drive. I mean, now that you said March 2020, I'm much better. That was my concern. I'm discussing my mother's property, which has the bamboo.
Beautiful bamboo, I have to say.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Mother's property has beautiful bamboo. I love it.
Yeah, we like it too. But anyway, I actually did speak to someone about a landscaper, and they were going to work on it over the winter. So I was very concerned that you were going to say, 30 days. Giving March, to me, that makes sense. I have to say, I still feel like it's a fairly excessive fine. It seems like a lot of money, since so many people have bamboo, since it hasn't been, illegal before this, to suddenly make a high fine. But to be honest, the March 2020 pretty much now makes me feel better. That was mainly why I was here, to say that, I didn't think we could take care of it. My other question is, are there property, I don't exactly know the property line. Is that something that the Borough Hall has? I can pick up a copy of my property line from Borough Hall.
Yeah, the tax map should have all of that.
Okay, so when the time comes and I want to check where the 5 feet or whatever, I can check. I can go to Borough Hall and get a copy of something like that.
I'm not sure that the tax map has your exact property line.
No.
No, Mike, right?
No, you don't have them.
It's a survey. I don't know if you have a survey of your property.
Yeah, I don't, that's what we, so the borough doesn't have something like that? I don't actually, so how would the borough then actually even know if we were, if you were, you know, citing someone for not, how do you, if you don't have their property lines, how will you know?
Well, the tax map does have delineations like 100 feet wide, 200 feet back on just about every property in the borough that I can see. So, but it's not necessarily marked and where do you start and where do you stop. That would be your survey for with your deed. So,
yeah, so
I'll be honest, Mr. Kuipers is not going to be out there with a ruler if it is 3 feet 9 inches away from the property line. You know, it's about trying to keep it under control, not manicuring it like Mayberry.
Like Disney World.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the 5 feet measurement, it's 5 feet away from your neighbors as well as 5 feet away from the public area?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. The buffer zone is described, yeah.
Okay. That's all. But the March 2021, that's really it for me. Thank you for suggesting that.
Thank you. Okay.
Anyone else from the public?
Yeah. Hi, I just want to say that I think the changes are excellent.
Your name and address.
Michael Tigton, and as chairman of the Environmental Commission, I think that's entirely consistent with what was proposed. And you know, we just want to make sure that something is done to protect properties from encroachment from other properties, and this certainly does it. And the change of the fine is. That's the fine seems perfect. Change seems perfectly reasonable.
Well, I think it's high, but if Greg said it's a long time before it gets to that point.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're citing
a lead time.
So at that point, I'm okay with it.
Sure. And hopefully people will comply before it reaches that point.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else?
Ben Johnson, 36 Pine Drive.
Hi.
Mike, there were other changes made at the last Environmental Commission, I believe. Did you want to go through those, or you're okay with the way things are?
Well, we're okay. I think what would be done, if there seemed to be additional problems, I think the council could do the same thing it's proposing to do with the tree ordinance, is to revisit it and, you know, make any changes that are necessary. But I think it's important to get this through it in time for, you know, to get this timetable in operation so we have it taking effect next March and then be in time for the next bamboo growing season.
All right. Well, honestly, I'm kind of surprised because it seemed to me we worked up. I made suggestions, and you and the commission kind of.
Ben, can you address your comments to the council table?
I'm sorry?
Can you address your comments to the council table? I know you have questions for Mike, but
yeah,
the proper procedure is to address the council.
Oh, well. My understanding is that there were different words on certain portions of this that were reworked by the commission. That's why I'm just kind of surprised, that's all.
Well, I think Michael seems satisfied.
Okay. As I said, I transmitted all that information to the council. You should have been in papers that you got. And that's the sort of thing I think perhaps you look at and see if there appear if some of these changes, which I think Ben had some good ideas there, and I think these changes may be necessary, but I think maybe desirable, but I don't think it's worth holding the thing up. I think we should get this thing started, and then there'll be time to make any changes that seem warranted. I think the comments were good comments, certainly, and the Environmental Commission did approve them.
Right. Well, one thing I think that, you know, I'm not an expert on this. I just have to have inherited bamboo on my property, so I've kind of gotten involved in this issue, but I have looked into it somewhat, and there are definite growing seasons, and dormant seasons for bamboo, and virtually from late fall to early or mid spring, nothing is happening. So it's not like we need to stampede our way into approving something and then, to my mind, go back and change a fair amount of it, or at least, or even a portion of it. You may as well get it right the first time. But
I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, I could short circuit this. I have his revisions. These are all very technical. And I couldn't put, I could put these in there.
Well, okay. Isn't it pretty much a standard ordinance, Greg?
They have some good suggestions, like defining the type of plastic as the high density polyethylene. I have to bring some of them up if that's okay. One of them is though the EC suggests reducing the buffer from 5 feet to 2 feet, which would obviously make it easier on the homeowners. He got to the 60 mil like I did, 30 inches deep, I believe, instead of the two inches. And so like things that help the growth, which I actually think are kind of useful. The council already decided the other two that are in here, which is the violation penalties and the other side. So really the only change in here that's really substantive, it isn't like technical in terms of how the bamboo grows, is the 2 feet, the buffer zone. So I mean, that's the only really issue for discussion before the council of the EC suggested changes from August. The rest of them are really technical changes, which is fine. I can put them in there. The other two were rejected and decided by the council differently. And then the last one is how big the buffer zone's got to be. So I could probably, I didn't mean to cut you off, Mr. Johnson, but that's pretty much everything in a nutshell, I think.
Possibly. I'm not sure about that. But can I at least make a comment about the fines that you were talking about?
Yeah, of course.
This sounds like you agreed on $500 initially and then $100 thereafter. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, maybe it's splitting hairs a little bit, but even $500 initially sounds like a lot to me. I looked at a number of ordinances in other towns and they state things somewhat differently. Some of them have like a flat amount as a penalty, but only one did I find where it used the amount of $500 up to $500 a day. Most of them are up to 100. Or words to that effect. So it still seems odd to me. And the amount of time period of 45 days is still pretty limited because this, as you well know, this is a very nasty plant to deal with. And if you are trying to do it yourself as a homeowner, and you have any substantial amount of growth, 45 days is just not going to be reasonable. And if you go outside and get a contractor, then you're dependent to a fair degree on their availability and you may have to wait for them to be able to fit it into their schedule. So it just sounds too restrictive from what the way I see it.
We'll take that into consideration, Ben, and then when we put the ordinance on for the next meeting, we can have another discussion. We can discuss your comments.
Okay. Good. I appreciate
it. Okay. When we get to the next reading of the ordinance, Greg, would you have some of Ben's technical stuff in there?
Yeah, I'm actually going to include all of it. I actually like some of the language on it. It clarifies an all plastic connecting system and stuff like that. So the pieces are his technical changes make a lot of sense. Obviously I take my guidance from the council. And so some of the aspects were just decided differently, which is okay. All the technical ones I'll put in there. There's actually some very good changes in here. And I'm sorry for not having that open when we started this discussion.
No,
because the clerk did email it to everyone. So.
Yeah, I found mine.
So. Yeah, I think there's some good suggestions there. Ben mentioned that there was an up to whatever the fine is, kind of language in some of the ordinances. I like that because that gives us some flexibility. Is there any, Greg, do you recommend putting in something that says up to
500?
I say that.
500 a day. This way you have
some room. Yeah, so I always leave it up to the judge because there's a huge difference between someone who has like two stalks on someone else's property and is being defiant versus someone who has like a whole patch across it. Honestly, we're not going to parse apart things that might happen. That's the judge's job. Okay. So I always leave it to the judge's discretion. If you look at all the ordinances that are right for you, it always says fine not to exceed or fine up to something like
that. Well, that's what's in there now is not to exceed 500.
Not to exceed,
which is basically up to.
Okay.
Yeah,
same.
Okay.
And 100 is also not to exceed, I would think. So that gives
on a daily fine, not to exceed.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, on the daily fine, not to exceed 100 also would be good. Yeah. It's the not to exceed or the up to that makes a difference. Up to the judge, like Greg just said, yeah.
I think it's important to remember that when we get to this $500, the possible not to exceed $500 penalty, there's been a lot of time involved. The homeowner knows what's going on, that they need to address this in some way. And I think it does give them a fair amount of time to address it. So I don't think it's...
Well, that's what Greg said, many court visits at that point.
Yeah, so even though it looks like a lot of money, again, it's not to exceed. And remember that there's a long timeline that precedes that.
I mean, it is a lot of money. It doesn't look like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But if we want to prohibit bamboo growth, then we have a choice of then, charging a lot of money or not. I mean, if that's the only way we're going to succeed in curbing bamboo here, then that's what we have to do. Or lower it because we think it's too excessive. I mean, any way you look at it is, for someone who has a bamboo problem, it's a lot of money. So then we have to decide whether that's something that we want to really curb by having large fees or not.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
You have decided apparently about not prohibiting bamboo in the borough.
Yes.
On this one, I'm going the other way around. I'm not sure that's a good idea. Or if you're going to permit it, the clump version of bamboo would make a lot more sense because it's much more manageable. You know, to allow running bamboo to be planted, I mean, I don't know, you're just opening up a possible can of worms. I know you've got all these rules regulating it, and we're trying to firm them up to make them, reasonable and effective. But I don't know, it just sounds kind of scary to me, honestly.
Well, whoever plants it will be responsible for maintaining it. And then the same rules apply. They're not maintaining it properly, they'll be cited and fined.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, is there anything else?
Let me just say one thing. I think that a person that puts in bamboo deliberately for whatever reason must know what the consequences of bamboo could be. You know, that it grows fast and could overwhelm you in no time at all.
Well, we're still in public comment. So is there anything else from the public?
Move to close.
Close public comment at 8:02 p.m. And then we will put the bamboo ordinance on for September 28th, right? Or no, 29th.
No, the 29th
is a Tuesday. Yeah, I wanted to remind everyone, which is now that our next meeting is Tuesday the 29th because Monday is Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Don't forget everybody Tuesday.
Okay.
We'll have it on the, oh, I was ready to say the menu. We'll have it on the agenda for September 29th.
Greg, can I ask a question? Is this going to be a new introduced ordinance? Because we did introduce it already.
No, I'll have to we're going to reintroduce it. There's too many changes.
Okay. So it's going to get a new number and
everything. It'll be a public hearing on the 29th and then another one 2 weeks later. Okay.
I'm not sure if you said it's going to be introduced on the 29th and right. Then a public hearing will be the following October 13th. Again, Tuesday.
Yeah. Can we send an email to Larissa and to Ben, just letting them know that we're going to reintroduce it and they will have a couple chances to address any suggestions they have?
If they give me their email.
But that's not necessary.
Yeah, I know we don't usually do that kind of thing, but they were here and they're interested, so they tuned out.
We'll see it on the agenda.
Yeah, it'll be on the agenda on the website.
And Larissa has already told you that she came for a purpose and she got her answer and she's perfectly happy with the ordinance as it is. She
all right.
So I don't think we have to. And Ben Johnson, Mr. Johnson is here. He hears it and he's participated. So I don't know that we need to send anybody anything.
Okay.
All right. Counselor, do we need a closed session?
No, we have to just do new business since we moved public comment up. Now we're doing new
business. Right. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so we will go back to new business. First item is branch pickup, which I'm sure everyone is relieved about, September 21st.
What's the date again?
Next Monday, September 21st. We sent out a flyer telling people 10 inches in diameter. I forget, 14 something? I forget, but everyone has a flyer.
So this isn't the storm cleanup kind of...
Well...
Just branch pickup? Because some people have some huge...
Well, as long as it's
I mentioned
6 feet in length max and no more than 10 inches in diameter, they can put out. In other words, I guess if they have trees and they chop them up.
It's already, you've seen it. There are whole trees out there and sections.
Yep. Unless they're cut down to size.
They would just leave those? Mm-hmm. They would leave the big sections?
Mm-hmm. Timberwolf was clear about no more than 10 feet and no more than
10 inches.
10 inches and no more than 6 feet. So if people comply and cut it down to the correct size, it'll be picked up. And if they leave huge trees, they won't be. And also no they leave and no clippings.
What?
Just no leaves and no clippings. Just
Are we going to remove the big pieces of wood? That some of them are a foot and a half diameter.
North Valley.
Right away, the borough then has a responsibility to remove those from the right away, no?
Which right away are you talking about, Mike?
North Valley.
Oh. Road, then it's the borough. And the borough has
to and also on Tamara, too. Yep. There's a lot of big pieces of wood out there that aren't going to. That they won't take with this.
How about Eleanor Lane?
Oh, we'll have to do DPW. Do they have a chainsaw?
Yeah, we can talk to Greg about him taking the saw and cutting it down to the proper size.
If it's too big for Timberwolf, Greg is not going to be able to handle it.
What, Joe? Oh, the sound's not clear tonight. I'm sorry, Joe, can you repeat that?
If the logs are too large for Timberwolf, Greg will not be able to handle them.
No, I was talking about Greg cutting them, taking a saw and cutting them so the Timberwolf can take it.
No, but some of them are very large diameter, and the barrel only has a 20-inch bar chainsaw, I think. That's the largest we have.
Then we'll have to talk to Timberwolf, then I'll have Anna talk to Timberwolf about what they charge or what, you know, what
yeah, I think you'd have to.
Yeah, that are not the residents that are on the borough property.
But I'd recommend that they take care of all of it, not just the small branches and all, you know.
What are you saying? Take from everyone's house, whatever they put out?
Well, take what's out there now. The big pieces and the little pieces, and whatever they have to charge us for the removal of the big ones.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Yeah. Or even it was suggested to take all the large pieces and stage them on Witch's Hollow or down by the sewer plant or something like that, if nobody will take them. At least they can stay somewhere off of the right of way until we can have them taken care of.
All right, we'll talk to Timberwolf tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Last item on the new business is the end of the summer party and movie night, which has now been rescheduled, I believe, for the third time to September 26th, which is a Saturday night, with a rain date of October 3rd. And a flyer will be going out, I think, tomorrow, no later, if not tomorrow, no later than Wednesday, telling all the residents. Yeah.
It will be the Princess Bride. Okay.
Anything else that anyone would like to bring up under new business from the council?
Yeah, I have some items and some things that I'm concerned about. You may have heard that there's an upcoming presidential election.
No.
Oh, see. No.
or at least some rumors that's going on. There's a lot of confusion. Well, I wonder if the borough can put out a newsletter or something that tells people to expect that they will be receiving their mail-in ballots, I think, sometime after October 3rd or something. I know the Monmouth County Board of Elections has, and the state has said that they will begin mailing those out then. And so I think I would like to see us put out some sort of newsletter directly to people, advising them to be on the lookout for it, that it's not a sample ballot, that's the real thing, and everybody's going to get one. And also, if they need help in filling it out, that they have to be filled out exactly. I mean, you have to do everything that it says to do in your ballot correctly, or else it could be thrown out. And I just wonder, because I've heard rumors that there will be other information sent out, maybe that might be confusing to voters about about mail-in ballots. I would like to see if we could send out something to people, telling them to look out for it. Here they are. Here's what, you know, here's where you can bring the ballot if you want to make sure that it's safely mailed. People have concerns about the mailing, about taking it to the post office and making sure that it's stamped and processed properly so that their vote can count. I think it's a big issue, and I think we need to perhaps put out something. But I think we need to be careful with it, too, because we don't want to be accused of any kind of electioneering or tampering or pushing people.
There is on the front page of the bulletin a letter from Christine Hanlon, and you do not have to put a stamp on it. But this is an official from Christine on the front page of the new bulletin. We should include that also. So, okay.
Like Kathleen has information. You want to?
Well, clerks had a conference call with the county clerk and the Board of Elections, and they will be sending a postcard out first,
to all active voters. They're sending out 450,000 postcards, and the mail-in ballots are supposed to be mailed out towards the end of September. Again, it's going to be 450,000 mail-in ballots. But the recommendation is to direct everyone to their website, which is Monmouth County Votes.
And right.
All the information posted there.
Votes, I think. V-O-T-E-S?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
.com.
Correct.
Yep.
And that is what they're recommending. They're not recommending, and I did put it up on the borough website. They're a link to Monmouth County Votes. And that's what they're recommending. Don't put out a different set of instructions or anything that, because people get confused. Their website, Monmouth County Votes, is going to have all the correct information. We're going to be 17 different drop-off locations. They haven't come up with where they are yet. You're also going to be able to bring your ballot on election day to your polling location and hand it in. But you're not going to be able to bring anybody else's. You're going to have to go there. You're going to have to stand in line. They're going to have you sign the book, and then you'll be able to hand in your mail-in ballot, your poll book. But that's on the day of election.
Right.
Also, isn't there some way of tracking to make sure that your mail-in ballot was processed properly? I thought there was something that the governor's office said.
Yes, they are working on that. I believe it's the state. There is going to be another conference call this week with the Board of Elections for all the clerks, and they say things are changing every day. So my advice is to strictly go to Monmouth County Votes and get all your information right from there.
Okay, Monmouth County Votes also has an app. I have it on my phone. It's easy to get all their information through their app, too. I wonder if people know that they could get that app on their phone. So if they have any questions as they go along and they're looking at the ballots and trying to figure out, am I doing this right, they could always just click on the app on their phone for Monmouth County Votes. Too.
Is it legal for the Monmouth County Democratic Committee or just coming from the mayor and council to send out a flyer advising people that go to Monmouth County Votes to learn exactly how to fill out your ballot and where you can bring your ballot?
The Monmouth County Votes is bipartisan. I mean, they have...
I mean, but I'm just saying, but there's no Republican committee in Roosevelt. There's only a Democratic committee. I'm just saying, so either from the Democratic Committee, which would still go to everyone, or
right.
Council, can we send out a flyer just advising people, if you have any questions, any concerns, any confusion, go to Monmouth County Votes, and all the information will be there.
I think that's perfectly legal.
I think the Democratic Committee could do that, but, you know, we got to be careful,
that's why
Peggy and myself. We're co-chairs of the Monmouth County Democratic Committee, and so we have to be very careful that we don't do.
That's why, yeah, that's
because we have a dual relationship. We have it could be confusing for people, so I think we have to be really careful about that.
I see no reason why.
Can we do that?
Why not? It's nonpartisan.
You're encouraging people to just vote. You can do that.
Monmouth County Votes to get all the information they need.
That's the official clerk's website, so that's perfectly fine.
But I mean, we can have a flyer as well. Not everybody goes to the website.
But the town, that's a town flyer, not a Monmouth County Democrats flyer.
Could have come from us, could have come from the town. Just advising people, if you have any questions, any concerns,
yeah,
go to Monmouth County Votes and all the information you need will be on that website.
Yeah, if you do it as a party, as your party, that you can put whatever you want on it as long as it's paid for by line. And if you do it as the town, it obviously has to be nonpartisan, independent, and refer to the official government website.
Yeah, we're not promoting anyone or just.
Well, the more you can put that out there and say, go to Monmouth County Votes, and put it on the bulletin board, put it in a flyer, direct everybody to that one thing and say, don't go anywhere else. You got to go there. And hopefully the integrity of that is good and that can't be compromised as well.
You know, of course, that we had a huge problem here for the primary. Many, many votes, many, many ballots were rejected. And apparently the reason was given was that they were not postmarked. These were all ballots that were mailed from the Roosevelt Post Office. And I spoke to the post office clerk who said that she followed exactly the procedure that she was told. And then quite a number of ballots came back well after the primary results were decided, came back marked that your ballot was rejected. And the irony is that the postal clerk herself, who lives in Millstone, but she mailed it from Roosevelt, since that's where she works, first was rejected. And anyone who mailed it on a certain day was rejected. So that kind of, you know, many people are upset. And there's been a real upset in our post office where our longtime postmaster was abruptly removed and someone brand new put in his place, like really new and knows very little about Roosevelt. So we want to make sure Monmouth County Votes will tell people exactly all the different ways that they can have their ballot, whether they bring it to one of the 17 drop-off points, whether they snail mail it, whether they bring it to the polls on election day. They'll list all the various.
Yeah, and you can also bring it to the Monmouth County Board of Elections.
Correct.
To be processed too.
There's quite a fair number of people, including myself. Actually, everyone who voted that, who sent in their ballot that day, which was well ahead of the election, none of us were counted, and we didn't find out. We didn't get letters till over a month later, and including the postal clerk, which just the irony is too much there.
It's ironic because I sent ours from Roosevelt, and we didn't get it.
What I don't understand about the votes being invalidated by the Monmouth County Board of Elections because of that, I don't understand why they don't have an obligation or legal obligation to contact the voter and give the voter a chance to have their vote counted. It's not somebody's fault that the post office didn't stamp something correctly. You have a right to have your vote counted. They should notify you that it wasn't processed properly or whatever, and give you a chance to correct it. This is my feeling. I don't know what the law is on that, so that your vote can count. Because there's a difference when you go to the polls. If you go to the polls and there's a problem there, you have. Seems like more rights in person to ask that your vote be counted, if you're challenged or something. You can even often they even have a judge who's on call and can answer a call and rule on whether or not your ballot can be counted. But with mail-in, it seems like, you know, if they don't like your signature, it doesn't quite match, they could throw it out and you won't know until after the vote's tabulated that yours didn't count because of some technical difficulty, and you won't be given the same rights that a person who goes to the polls to vote would be to make sure that their vote is registered and counted. That doesn't seem equitable and fair to me, and I really worry about the integrity of the mail-in ballots and whether or not something could happen to them and they could be discounted and thrown out. I just wanted to say one more thing. My wife, when she was handicapped and she was terminally ill with ALS, had a lot of difficulty signing an absentee ballot. We went to the Board of Elections. And we were with one of the people who worked at the Board of Elections, and we said, this is the issue. And they said, well, she could just do an X. And I had to help her do the X. And the Board of Elections person looked at it and said, okay. And I said, is there going to be a problem if she actually can't, you know, if it's a sloppy X and it doesn't match that X, oh no, there's not going to be a problem. Well, we found out after the fact that her vote was disqualified because it didn't, it was thrown out, it was challenged. I don't know who challenged it, but it was challenged and it was thrown out. And I was furious because we took every step even beforehand to make sure that vote would count. So I'm worried about this election with all of the mail-ins, and it seems like it's easier to disqualify a mail-in vote than it is one that's done in person. And yeah.
Absolutely flabbergasted because she told me they showed her exactly what to do with the ballots, but everyone that was done that way on a certain day was disqualified. I also know someone who registered to vote in 1970, and she said that her signature has changed quite a bit since then. And she went just last week to the Board of Elections to fill out a new signature card, which I didn't even realize was a possibility, or I would have never thought of that. But she said, but when she was in college, her signature doesn't look anything like that now. And she filled out a new one, so they couldn't possibly disqualify her, saying the signatures didn't match.
People's signatures change over time with arthritis, you know, and the one that you they have on file a few years ago or whatever, maybe your signature currently may be totally different. So I'm really worried about this process. And I also like to ask our legal counsel about that and if there are any comments on how people can make sure that their mail-in vote is counted, and will they be given a chance? And are they? Is there a legal requirement that they be given the same chance to cure any problems with their vote that someone at the polls is given?
Did he hear you, Greg?
Greg, did you hear?
Yes.
Did you hear Mike's comments?
Yes, to the rejected ballots.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a agreement. So if your ballot's rejected for a signature, they have to notify you according to the agreement between Fair Voting Advocates and Judge Shipp, the federal lawsuit that occurred during the primary. If it's rejected for other reasons, like lateness or tardiness or things like that, it's basically presumed to be the voter's responsibility. And I would recommend that the best way to vote is to drop it in one of the secure drop boxes that will be all throughout the county. There'll definitely be one in Allentown, and there may be one even closer to you guys in maybe a Freehold or someplace close to Freehold Township or something like that. So Allentown, which is closer, Allentown or Freehold?
Allentown.
Allentown, I know, will have a drop box out in front of their town hall. And the clerk will come collect those, so you don't have to worry about the post office at all. That's how they're handling that situation. And then in terms of whether you fill it out correctly or anything else, that's going to be on you as the voter. But if your ballot's rejected for signature reasons, you're supposed to receive a notice according to the attorney, I think the secretary is, or the, you know what, I don't know, the government official responsible for elections of the state and voting advocate groups signed an agreement before Judge Shipp back in June on that issue.
But you won't get to then correct that situation because you'll be notified, obviously, after the ballot is received, processed, and everything else, and that's rejected. So that time period could be well after the election anyway, correct?
Depends on what you mean by the election. So the election, most people consider the election over on election day when everyone goes on the website and sees who won, but the election actually isn't over until they certify it about 2 weeks later after counting all the votes and everything that came in. And so this election may be significantly longer than 2 weeks before it's certified. So there's going to be a lot of, it depends on when you got the vote in, really. But I think it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to count all these votes. It's right. To give you an idea, in the primary, you know how people vote in the primary versus the general election. It took the Board of Elections 9 business days to count all the votes just for the primary. And so this is going to be about, I don't know, 8-9 times the number of votes. But you can do the math on it. So I think you'll have, I don't need to say that it's not a concern, Councilman, because I think you raised a good one.
Well,
but the election's not going to really be over probably until December minimum.
Well, I like the idea that came through, I guess, the governor's office or the state, that you can register to track your mail-in ballot to make sure it's processed and it's counted. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'd like to see us encourage people to follow that process so they can actually make sure if there's a problem with it, then they'll see it.
Where do you register?
Be able to.
I go on the state Division of Elections webpage.
You can actually register online now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to get that information out to people so if they really want to make sure that their vote counts, we could.
Go to Monmouth County Votes. We can also put that on the flyer.
I will tell you they're going to be sending out the Monmouth County Board of Elections. We'll be sending out a postcard with a lot of this information that we're discussing. But I don't have that information yet.
Maybe
there was about 100,000 mail-in ballots that they counted for the primary. But this is going to be going to all active voters, and they said it was 450,000 ballots are going to be mailed.
Is that just Monmouth County?
Monmouth County.
Wow.
So if it took them, we didn't get certified results, for almost a month? On 100,000, can you imagine what 450,000?
Yep.
And that information should be coming out shortly. I believe the Board of Elections met today to decide the final locations of everything and such. So,
okay.
Should be decided as of today.
I think we should wait till the postcards come out.
And also to track their own, how to track their own ballot.
Yeah, the first thing I want to do is make sure that people know when they get this ballot that this isn't a sample ballot, because they may be feeling like, oh, this must be a sample ballot, and they might throw it in the trash, because people can get confused in the rush of things.
Michael?
You don't want to find them in the post office trash bin in the first week of October when they start coming out. So I would like to see us put out something that says, be aware that it's all mail-ins in New Jersey. You will be receiving an official ballot. It's official. Do not throw it out. That's your ballot. That's your chance to vote. I think all of this information is really important, and I think we ought to.
Before you do that, why don't we wait and see what the postcard looks like?
Yeah.
You may have all the things that you mentioned. I'm sure, I am certain that it's going to say this is the ballot you're getting is a legitimate ballot. It's not a, it's not a test ballot or a, prototype.
Well, if I recall correctly from the primary, I think the one that showed up for the primary voting actually said official ballot on it, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, too.
It's funny. I've seen things in Pennsylvania, things that look like official ballots that came from one party or another. And it really has confused a lot of voters in other states, because sometimes political parties put out something. And I think it's an attempt to confuse. And it says it looks like an official ballot. There can be a lot of confusion with people with this election. And people may not know that in New Jersey, it's all mail-in, no matter what.
That's the thing, and that's part of the problem that I see with this mass mail-in voting, because people are under the impression, because if I don't have the conversation at least once a week with somebody, a resident of this state, that cannot vote in person. There is no in-person voting unless you're disabled. Anybody else will have a provisional ballot, not the same as your official ballot that you get in the mail. You can't use the machine, kind of like the primary. I walked down the borough hall because I thought that it was an option. I could vote in person if I so chose, or I could do a mail-in ballot. Nope. Provisional ballot only if you show up.
Correct.
I still like the idea of us getting out some flyers sometime too, because they know us. People trust us. You know, if we, you know, if it has our names on it, that, you know, people know us personally. A postcard is good, and I think we ought to. I think you're right, Lou. I think we ought to wait for that. But then maybe if we need to send out a flyer,
right,
to you know, to hammer that into people, this is you know, this coming from us, that would be great.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I think we should wait and see what it looks like.
Let's do that, because they should be mailed out in a few weeks, right?
Well, I have another conference call tomorrow, but they said the postcard, I believe, should be mailed out next week. But right, if I get any other information, I'll, you know, definitely let.
So that gives us time.
Will the postcard be received or go out to people so that they'll have that before they get their mail-in ballots?
That is what I was told, yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Exactly, but you never know.
No.
2020 is the year that you just don't
remember,
know.
Remember, it's all going through the post office.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cards could get held up for some reason. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
Our post office, our little post office, which you wouldn't think anyone's paying attention to. So first our ballots weren't counted, and then right before the election, they put somebody brand new in there. And it's very disheartening.
Well, I was routinely, and I still periodically get other people's mail. And I actually got one of the sample ballots from the primary for somebody else in my box.
Yeah, there's been a problem lately.
Okay. Did it have, Chad, did it have your box number and someone else's name, or...
But I also get other people's mail in my box, though, too.
Oh.
I have the same thing. I can give you a list of the people's mail who I get.
It's a good way, you know, have a conversation with your neighbors, because you're always dropping off their mail or they're dropping off your mail to you. That's been forever.
Yeah.
Because if someone's box is right above yours or under yours or next
to yours. If it's a mass mailing, some of them get stuck together. The next thing, you know, it's all kinds of things. I get them also. Everybody in town gets those things.
Okay.
But not everybody seems to be courteous enough to bring it to the counter. They just leave it on the counter outside.
I read somewhere where where there's going to be an official mailing in all 50 states that goes out that explains mail-in balloting. It says that you have to request a mail-in ballot, because it doesn't address the different states and what different states are doing this election, that some states have all mail-in ballots and that could be confusing. So I'm a little concerned about that, too. I've read in the Times that...
Got that already.
Did we get that already? Because no. I didn't. Okay. So I'm a little concerned that there'll be confusion here in New Jersey and in Roosevelt about, you know, mm-hmm. Some people might think they have to request a mail-in ballot and be nervous about that. And how do I do that? And, you know, it can be an issue.
All right. I'm going to cut you off, Mike, but is there any other new business from anyone at the table? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Greg, no closed session?
No, not tonight, Mayor. We're okay. Our matters are actually closed at the moment, so we're
good. Wait, you're kind of hard to hear, Greg. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. So the one matter has been, we have two litigations pending. One's been concluded, and the other, we're still awaiting decisions. There's nothing to do. So there's nothing to talk about.
I just want to say before we adjourn, don't forget the next meeting is on Tuesday the 29th.
Right.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
You have.
Any word yet on the tax bills?
There's, I think,
I know.
The 13th? The 12th? I think there's, they're supposed to be the 12th. They're going to be due on the 12th, which is a holiday.
But they're still due on the 12th.
They're still due on the 12th, which is a holiday. And so they'll have to be dropped off in the drop box.
Any word yet on tax bills?
The resolution to extend the third quarter will be on the next meeting, the September 29th.
And then they're due on October 12th. And that's a holiday, so people can just put it in the drop box. They won't be able to come into the barrel hall. It will be closed, but they can put it in the tax box. Can you tell if we're losing people?
I know. Can you hear us, Mike? Can you guys hear us?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mike, did you hear that? Mike Ticton?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned at 8:38 p.m.
Okay. Good night, all.
Good night, Chad.
Good night,
David.
Good night, all.
Good night.
See you next time.
I'm showing my age.
Yeah, Little House taking place here now.
No, the Waltons.
The Waltons, right. Yes.